There are a number of different ways you can look at it. There's PET, you know, there's a number of specific unusual PET that can look at flow. And because remember, you know, what we're looking at in particular is the VEGF pathway. Now, angiogenesis is incredibly complicated. The reason it's incredibly complicated is because it's incredibly important. And anything that's incredibly important has many levels of regulation. It's not going to be simple because the body has to fine-tune it, you know, basically throughout the body. And so when you have something like that, it's always amazing that even a single drug, a specific drug, is going to have a dramatic anti-cancer effect. Now, it turns out that, you know, most of what we're talking about has been the VEGF pathway. It seems to be at least one of the most potent pro-angiogenic pathways, and clinically has appeared to be the most important. When you're talking about VEGF, VEGF actually has multiple different activities and multiple different properties. And in fact, it was discovered both as vascular endothelial growth factor as well as vascular permeability factor. So it has effects including perhaps the growth of new blood vessels. It may also have to do with tumor perfusion, intertumoral pressures. And so really there are many different facets of looking at VEGF, and it's unclear what exactly it is that you're inhibiting.
You were talking before about the effects of PTK-ZK in terms of the three VEGF receptors. What about bevacizumab?
Bevacizumab, so the way that when you're looking at inhibiting the pathway, there are a couple different ways that you can look at it. You can inhibit the ligand or you can inhibit the receptors. There are actually multiple different ways to inhibit the ligand. For example, sometimes people think inhibiting ligand means antibody, inhibiting the receptor means small molecule. It's actually not that clean. VEGF-A was the VEGF that was first discovered. It turns out, once again, it's more complicated because the body wants to have control from an evolutionary standpoint. And there are multiple members of the VEGF family. There's, at least in the human, VEGF A through D. There's also placental growth factor.
These are the ligands.
These are the ligands. It turns out that there are also isoforms of the ligands as well, which gives you another measure of control. For example, VEGF A has different isoforms of different length that bind differently to the extracellular matrix, have different extracellular binding, whether they're basically stuck in the extracellular matrix or whether they're free-floating. What bevacizumab or Avastin is it's an antibody that specifically binds all isoforms of VEGF-A. So it doesn't bind VEGF-B, it doesn't bind placental growth factor or C or D. Now, there is another way to actually block the ligand, and that's VEGF-TRAP. And VEGF-TRAP, if you think of it as an artificial antibody where they've taken pieces of the receptors, high affinity binding parts of VEGF receptors, hooked it to an Fc portion of the molecule, and in fact made a very high affinity artificial antibody. And that's a little bit broader binding placental growth factor, VEGF-A.
What's the difference between VEGF-TRAP and what, say, bevacizumab does?
It's an artificial antibody. That's their technology of making something rather than having the natural binding of an antibody. Now, it turns out that VEGF-A does hit VEGF receptor 1 and 2, so it gets a little more confusing. Binding the receptors, there are actually a couple different ways. Most of them are small molecule inhibitors like PTK-ZK. Turns out there are also antibodies to the receptors. And in fact, ImClone has an antibody. ImClone does things other than cetuximab, and they have an antibody called IMC1121B, which is actually a monoclonal antibody to VEGF receptor 2. There's also a pegylated FAB fragment, basically an antibody, which they've also licensed the rights to.